You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yeah. Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. Two cards.
Doubleheader time. That's right. Tomorrow, the UFC and Bellator are bringing, I'm not going to say their best efforts, but they're trying. They're trying. There's going to be fights tomorrow. How about that? And lots of them. As we welcome you to the live UFC Vegas 40 and Bellator 268 preview show, a little combo here on MMAfighting.com. And you see the effects, you hear the music, which means we're going back to Fancy Town. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Alexander K. Lee, the Prince of Positivity, my best friend. How are you, sir?
What? Oh, what's going on? Oh, sorry, we got some sweet, sweet music back. That can only mean one thing, Mike. That can only mean one thing.
What does that mean? What could it mean? Tell us. Tell the world. Tell the world.
I feel like the number one producer in the business is back.
He might be. Let's see. Are you going to see the mustache? There he is. There he is. All refreshed from global travel. How are you, Casey? How are you feeling, buddy? How was your vacay?
My vacay was freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. That's it. It was good. Good things happened. It was good. Good times. Lots of wine was drank. Lots of tapas were eaten. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Fantastic. I went to Spain, by the way. I was in Spain for 2 weeks, if you're wondering.
Spain. Dang. All right, let's not even talk about fights. Let's just talk about Casey's vacation. Oh, man, so many questions. Good. I'm just kidding. You know what, Casey? I'm going to let you pick. Where do you want to start? We have two cards. One clearly is better than the other. Like, let's be honest. One's just better on paper. One will probably produce a better overall card, at least like as a whole, in my opinion. But where do you want to start? You want to start with Bellator or you want to start with the UFC? So we're going to talk about both.
I know very little about both. So let's talk about Bellator. Let's go Bellator.
Okay. Let's talk about Bellator. Bellator 268. Interesting card. There's three really good fights. There's some interesting names. It's a classic Bellator card where there's a lot of prospects looking to take that next step. But I would say the three fights everybody has their eye on are the top three, including the main event for the Bellator light heavyweight title. We got Vadim Nemkov versus Julius Anglicus. This was supposed to be Nemkov versus Anthony Rumble Johnson. Of course, Anthony Johnson has some pretty serious health issues. Don't know the full facts on that, but it's not looking very good according to his social media. And then the other semifinal matchup for this light heavyweight Grand Prix is Ryan Bader versus Corey Anderson. I think everyone's got that sort of circled as the fight of the weekend. But let us not forget, at lightweight, we got Benson Henderson versus Brent Primus, and now that Patricio Pitbull has vacated the lightweight title, and Patricky Pitbull and Peter Quigley are about to fight for the vacant title in a few weeks, Henderson-Primus becomes a very interesting fight. There's a lot on the line here. The stakes are very high. So, AK, let's start with you. Those top three fights, clearly, if we're comparing cards, this is the better slate. This is the better top three than what the UFC is bringing to the table, but Vadim Nemkov versus Julius Inglick is interesting fight. Obviously, this would have been a little more mainstream, a lot more buzz if Rumble was here. But Inglick is no joke. He's a tough guy. He's earned his way into the spot. He is the alternate for a reason. Your thoughts on that fight in particular and what Julius Inglick can do to pull off, in a lot of people's eyes, an extremely massive upset here.
Yeah, I'm glad Bellator didn't get too cute with it. I know a lot of people were joking around, I think, saying like, oh, they'll find a way to throw, you know, Yoel Romero back in the tournament. They'll give him the spot against Nemkov. And I don't think anyone thought that was realistic. I think maybe they thought it'd be kind of a funny thing to do. Certainly a fight that would draw more eyeballs than Nemkov versus Anglicus, if we're being honest. But I like that Bellator stuck with the system. I mean, they established two alternates in Anglicus, and I believe Carl Albrechtsen, who's also fighting on the card. But Anglicus, I think, got the call. Maybe Albrechtsen wasn't officially a backup. But anyway, I'm glad that they had these contingency plans. It worked out as it's supposed to. Anglicus gets a slide right into a light heavyweight title shot. I'm a little surprised. I think I asked the other day what the odds were. Michael, I don't know if it was you that told me he's not. It's something like Nemkov's like minus 350, something like that. It's higher now.
Yeah, it's minus 575 right now.
Okay, I'm still surprised it's not like a 10-1 thing. But again, I think people are learning from. I think it's out of respect to Anglicus. I think a little bit of disrespect to Nemkov. I think people aren't quite sure how good he is yet. I think most of us, we think he's a top five light heavyweight in all of MMA, not just in Bellator. So I think we're giving him a lot of respect. The public, maybe not so much.
We have number four, by the way.
A number four in consensus. Yeah, I think some of us have him as high as number three.
Yeah.
I think the lowest any one of us has him is maybe six or seven. So there's a lot of respect on our group for Nemkov. But the public, again, they don't know him yet. He's not a big name, even though he's beaten big names, Ryan Bader, Phil Davis. So this isn't going to boost him much. It's a high risk, low reward situation. If he wins, he beats an alternate. If he loses to an alternate. And it's like, oh, maybe he was just overhyped, blah, blah. So it's a little unfortunate for him. But I hope that I like Anglicus, but I hope for Nemkov's sake that he gets to put on a bit of a show here, either winning a very commanding decision or maybe finding a finish. So I like the matchup. I understand it with the loss of Rumble Johnson. It seems weird to have it over two more well-known fighters in Ryan Bader and Anderson, but that's respect for the title, respect for the top guy in this tournament. So I like the fight a lot.
Casey, you've been really high on Vadim Nemkov for a while. Especially, I mean, you were high on him heading into the Ryan Bader fight, and now you were even higher on him after that fight. So for those who aren't aware of just how good this guy is, sell him, get him off the fence.
Oh, Nemkov. Google Nemkov topology, click the first link and look at the guy's record. He's an incredible fighter. He's just okay. Yeah, he's not great in the mic. He's good. I don't know. I have him number, where do I have him? I have him number three in the world. Yeah, I think I was the one that had him number three. I have him behind Jan, UFC champ. Yuri Prohaska, who has beaten Nemkov in close fights in, I think, Ryzen, but this is years ago now. I don't know those aren't even important at this point. But Nemkov is just, he's just good all around. He's doesn't make mistakes, hits hard, fights smart. You know, he's a brick of a person. And unfortunately, yeah, too bad. It just sucks. It's not Anthony Johnson. It's just bad luck for Bellator. It happens. And now he's fighting a very solid UFC caliber. I believe if he was in the UFC, he'd be like kind of a top 15 at this point of his career, like kind of borderline top 15, ranking, in the UFC. I don't know very, the opponent, I can't even say his last name. How do you say his last name again?
Anglicus.
Okay, Anglicus. This is why you have backups in tournaments. It's unfortunate. It'd be great. The hype would be very different if it was Anthony Johnson, but it's not. And I think Nemkov is an amazing fighter, and he should put a whooping on Anglicus. But if Anglicus can pull it off, it would be definitely one of the biggest upsets of the year.
Yes, Anglicus was on the Contender Series, got a submission win against Carl Reed, who I believe is a training partner of Wonderboy Thompson. submitted him in the third round, did not get a contract, and then Bellator scooped him right up like a month later, and he's 3-0 with Bellator. So obviously this will be the biggest fight of his career, but he beat Jordan Young, which at the time was a very impressive win. I believe it was a pretty big upset too, based on the betting lines. Let me just make sure. There was no line for that one, but Jordan Young was a very hyped prospect at 11-0, and Jordan went in there and beat him. I mean, Julius went in there and beat him. Alex Polizzi was undefeated at the time of their fight, beat him. And then Gregory Milliard, that was at Bellator 257 in April. That was a decision win. That was a fight a lot of people expected him to win. So Inglicus is tough, man. He's tough. He's Mike, a Shamrock FC guy.
Do you remember I don't really follow Contender Series too much, but I'm looking at the Contender Series card that he was on, and Ray Rodriguez, Sarah Alpar, Brock Weaver, and William Knight. They're all UFC fighters currently. Why wasn't Julius signed that night by Dana White? Do you remember?
Was he?
And he got a finish.
Yeah, he did not get signed. Everybody, William Knight did not. Oh no, he did.
He got developmental. He got the developmental that night, right? That wasn't he. He didn't get fully signed yet, did he?
Yeah, he got developmental. Didn't yeah. Was Julius the guy? No, it wasn't him. Okay, yeah, I don't know why I didn't get a contract. Yeah,
I'm just curious. I'm looking at the card for that night. I'm like, wow. I mean, yeah, I was just.
Did he miss weight? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. Yeah, well, especially based on this season, seen this season where they're handing out contracts like, I don't know, in such a capricious manner. Honestly, we don't know. We were talking, I think, like last week, like how crazy is it? Chris Curtis didn't get a contract, and then look at like some of the guys are missing weight now and getting contracts. Yeah. So again, not to disrespect anyone that's getting contracts this year, but clearly it's very different getting a contract mm-hmm. two seasons ago than it is now. So very strange. But yeah, if you look at Anglicus's record, this is a guy who was headed towards a light heavyweight title shot anyway, mm-hmm. probably two fights away as opposed to no fights away. He's just getting it now. But he was on his way. If you look at his resume, fighting very solid competition, beating very solid competition. And again, fortunately, has not had a chance to really build his brand yet. But I think win or lose, this should be a good experience for him. So cool that he gets the shot. But he's like a bit of a tall order for him right now.
Yes, I think a lot of people expect Vadim to move on. I think Julius is going to give him a tougher fight than a lot of people think. But I think Vadim moves on.
I agree too. I think it'll be competitive, but I think Nemkov is just the better fighter. Mm-hmm. Overall,
yeah,
and I think AK alluded to this earlier. Credit to Bellator for not trying to throw in Romero or something, or Phil Davis in there again or something like that. Actually, you know, using the tournament, using your alternates properly, and this is why you have the alternates. And hey, Daniel Cormier was an alternate, so who knows?
I like how we have to compliment MMA promotion just for being like logical. Like we're so used to shenanigans in Bellator, in the UFC, one championship, you name it, any MMA promotion. We're so used to shenanigans, and we're just like, oh wow, they just did the logical thing that like is laid out on paper for them, and it's the right thing to do. So
not throws you off and confuses you.
hashtag rules rule, as we all, and I think we'll find that out on Saturday night when we get a fine main event.
Yes. The co-main event, also a five-round fight because it is a Grand Prix matchup. It is Ryan Bader and Corey Anderson. And it's one of those fights, AK, you and I talk about this all the time on to the next one. Like, I can't believe these two guys haven't fought. This is one of those kinds of fights. Like, I cannot believe these two haven't fought. I don't even think they've ever even been paired up as like a targeted booking at any point in their careers. But we're going to get it tomorrow in the Bellator cage, and a lot on the line, a lot at stake. And what is at stake is a shot at $1 million and a shot at the Bellator light heavyweight title against probably Vadim Nemkov. So, AK, I talked to Corey Anderson the other day. He said some really interesting things. And one of the things he's really excited about is he's always sort of wanted to fight Ryan Bader, but he feels like now is the perfect time. Like if they booked this fight 3 years ago, it wouldn't have had the sizzle in his eyes that it has now. It feels like he's in his prime. Bader's gone on to do big things. He's still the heavyweight champion. And the paths that they've taken, he feels like they're meeting at the exact right time. Do you agree with that? Or is this a fight that maybe you would have liked to have seen in the UFC a couple of years ago?
I think Corey Anderson is correct. Maybe not for the reasons that he's implying. Ryan Bader now is 38 years old. He will be, is he a fresh 30? Okay, so he turned 38 this year, a few months ago. He's got a lot of wear and tear, a lot of battle damage, definitely more so than Corey Anderson. So in that sense, I do wonder if Corey's catching him at the right time. Corey is definitely a skilled fighter, a great wrestler, obviously, but of course, so is Ryan Bader. That's his base. He's been a great, you know, classic wrestle striker for a long time. Really fits that mold of that kind of the kind of guy who can take the fight to the mat, keep it on the feet where he wants it to be, and has a big right hand, right? And he's developed from there. But I'm saying that was sort of how Ryan Bader started. So skill wise, I still think Bader's a little bit more advanced, but it's hard for me to look past, again, sort of it, you know, when a fighter starts getting older, getting a little more chinny, they're facing someone who's, again, a little bit younger, more athletic, more explosive. So I know we have to make our pick soon. I'm not saying anything yet. I will say, though, that Corey Anderson does have reason to be confident. And I do understand why, if I'm looking at this correctly, Corey is the slight favorite on the betting line. So again, if this happened 2 years ago, that might not be the case. So I think Anderson is right. He's favored for a reason.
Yes, according to our friends at DraftKings, Corey Anderson is almost right now almost a 2-1 favorite. He's a minus 190 favorite.
More than slight. Wow.
So some money coming in on Mr. Overtime. Your thoughts on this matchup, Casey? Because you've covered both of these guys for a little while now, and now they're both in Bellator. Corey Anderson's had a nice start to his Bellator run. Ryan Bader had the knockout loss to Vadim Nemkov, and he bounced back with a win over Lyoto Machida. He's still the heavyweight champion. Bader hasn't been too fond of the way Corey has been sort of promoting this fight by sharing training information, saying that he got the better of Ryan Bader. Bader's wondering why he would share this stuff and break this unwritten rule. And Corey Anderson told me that the reason he's saying this, because he wants Bader pissed off. He thinks Bader will train harder. He'll be at his very best. And that's the kind of fight that Corey Anderson wants. Because if Bader's at his best, Corey Anderson feels that he'll be able to perform at his best, even better than Ryan Bader. So pretty interesting strategy. I found it quite fascinating the way he is approaching all this. But Corey Anderson is a different kind of fella. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, first off, I get Ryan Bader's kind of issue with the, you know, the untold rule of telling about sparring, you know, sessions. But you know what? Bellator they're just desperate for storylines, and Scott Coker isn't that dude that's gonna Inglewood.
Like, I thought you were giving yourself props for a great point.
Yeah.
That was the horn. Yeah.
That's my soundboard. I just called the fire department. credit Corey Anderson for kind of playing the game in the sense of throwing a storyline out there. You know, we need something to talk about because we've said this for a while, you know, the best fighters versus the best fighters, no one really cares, honestly. It's kind of cool. We want drama, and this gives the fight a little drama, even though these guys are two top 10 light heavyweights. And I like how Corey, I like this kind of new Corey Anderson, in a sense that maybe it's not a new Corey Anderson, maybe since he's winning, we're just listening more, rather. But I like how he's selling the fight. I like Ryan Bader kind of getting pissed about it. And that's always kind of been Ryan Bader's kind of, he's just kind of bland, you know, as a personality sometimes, even though he has big knockouts and everything, and, you know, he looks the part, you know, he's just like, oh, I just want to fight, you know, which isn't the most exciting thing for, you know, in between. You know, I mean, they only fight once every 3 months. So we have a lot of time to film between. So good to Corey Anderson. I like this fight a lot. I do. I don't know. Corey being a 2-1 favorite is kind of crazy to me, considering, you know, Bader lost to Nemkov. You know, a guy I think is going to win tomorrow night, a guy that I think would beat Corey Anderson. But I really like this matchup, and I haven't decided who's going to win. I don't even know. To me, it's the age issue of Bader. Is he – I think when Bader came over to Bellator, he kind of hit that prime in his career, and we know he went on a great run, won two belts in Bellator. But is he over that? Is he old now? I don't know. He beat – Machida in a, let's call it a workmanlike performance, but it was a smart victory. This is 5 rounds. This fight could be pretty awesome, and it could be pretty boring too. I think if Bader kind of just wrestles, which, you know, he's been known to do to get that W, and that's a little bit the issue maybe of tournaments, because being exciting doesn't really mean very much as long as you win. And Bader may just kind of go for that. You know, I just got to get that W. Corey Anderson, I think at this point in his career, he's just an exciting fighter. He's a mean dude who I do think is in his prime. And yeah, I'm excited for this fight a lot, actually. I haven't decided who I'm going to go with yet, but I'm leaning toward a certain person. I'm picturing it in my head right now.
and by the way, not to harp, I mean, I know we're harping the age a lot, but I do think that is one of the biggest factors. You mentioned, you know, Casey, that he kind of hit his prime. He also kind of is also beating guys who are older than him in Bellator. I'm just looking at it now. Well, that's all. His last win in the UFC was against Little Nog, who's older than him. Phil Davis and Linton Vassell, nice wins. They're about the same age. Phil Davis maybe a little bit younger, 1 year younger, I think. King Mo is older than him. Matt Mitrione is older than him. Fedor is older than him. Mm-hmm. Machida is older than him. So all the people that Bader has beaten ever since his last fight in the UFC have either been older than him or around the same age. Mm. So again, age isn't everything. He's a very skilled fighter. He's shown that you know, he's in amazing shape. But it comes for all of us. You know, it comes especially professional fighters. I mean, it comes really fast for professional fighters. So that 6 year age gap between him and Anderson is just really hard to ignore.
Yeah. Do you believe Anderson, Corey Anderson, this is peak Corey Anderson we're getting right now?
No, this man works 25-8. I think two more years. I think you see the best of him. You see the best
of him. Overtime.
It's overtime. Oh,
he's working overtime. Exactly. Right now. He's close. There's like 85%. 85% as good as he can be.
I think, I mean, mentally, he's clearly in the best place he's been in his career. He's just let everything go. He's like, I don't care about the media. I'm not doing any interviews. Like, I'll do fight week interviews. Like, if it's fight week and I have media obligations, I'll do them. But other than that, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to go outdoor. I'm going to train. I'm going to hunt stuff. I'm going to go outdoors and do that thing and hang out with my family. That's all I'm worried about. I don't care about anything else. I'm not here to please anybody but myself and my family. That's all he cares about. It's a different guy than it was 5 years ago, who was in the UFC machine.
By being, you know, more like he says, by being more like himself, he actually comes off as more real, more exciting in a weird way. You know, he doesn't. Maybe in the past he's tried to fake it, like, you know, he did that John Jones thing where he showed up at a John Jones autograph signing, kind of back in the UFC, trying to, you know, remember trying to start some stuff, trying to hype a fight that never even came close to happening. But Corey just being Corey, just being this kind of intense, gruff, you know, like, dude, I don't care about these guys. I'm just going to beat this guy up, man. You know, he has this kind of weird intensity, not weird, but he just has an intensity. If you ever interview him, you guys have experienced, you know, you've kind of seen him when he's up close. He just, I don't want to call him scary, but yeah, he's kind of scary. Like, you got like, I don't want to see this guy angry. And I think fans are finally catching on to that kind of Corey Anderson. I don't think that really worked in the UFC. Maybe it's because he lost. Maybe just like I said, maybe he's always been this way, but we just don't listen to them like when they lose. So like Chael Sonnen kind of always had this thing like, Chael's, I've always been this way. I was just losing fights. No one was just paying attention to me. So when you start winning, you know, you start looking more deeper into everything they're saying. But yeah, Corey Anderson outside the cage has like just, as much as he's improved in the cage, outside the cage, has been just as fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think it's his time right now. I think him being out of the UFC was the best thing that ever happened to him. Parting ways and going to Bellator at this point in his career was the perfect timing, perfect like sort of wave of good stuff happening for him. And he's an interesting guy. He always has been. And I think he's learned a lot of lessons along the way. Like, back, you know, a couple of years ago, he felt like I just need to go and train and just like dominate the dudes that I'm training with all the time. And now he's realizing, like, if I'm fighting Ryan Bader, I got to bring in like Olympic wrestlers, dudes that are going to beat me up and throw me around until like the last week of camp where I like might win a round. Like, those are the kinds of moments in his training that are going to put him over the edge in some of these experiences. So I think he's got a much clearer head now. He's not worried about the UFC and trying to impress them. He doesn't have a John Jones fight to chase right now. He can control his own destiny because he's in a Grand Prix, and the UFC isn't going to do anything fun like that. Why? Because they don't like fun. They don't like fun. Bellator likes fun. They just don't promote it well enough for everybody to know about said fun. But we'll be watching. Should be a great fight. Casey, you've been teasing it. Tease us no more. Who wins this fight? Corey Anderson or Ryan Bader?
Corey Anderson. Fourth round, TKO stoppage.
I am. I'm with you. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think third round. I think he does it a round earlier. I think it's a ground and pound kind of a stoppage. And I think it could be like a couple of rounds with Corey just beating up Ryan Bader. And then I think he finally like mercifully gets it done in the third. I just think he's, I just like the energy that I'm seeing from him right now. I think he's going to win, and I think he's going to win impressively. Honestly, as good as Ryan Bader has been in his career, I think this is Corey's time. Your thoughts, AK?
I'm going to go with what's, I have to imagine is maybe not the odds on pick, but probably a pretty safe bet. Anderson by decision. I actually don't think he'll be able to finish Bader. I think there's, and as much as I like the matchup, I do think stylistically there could be some ugly stalemates against the cage. I think, again, Anderson might be a bit the aggressor, might be the one who's sort of pushing the action, but it's going to be hard for him to just get like clean takedowns on Ryan Bader. So we're going to see both guys boxing. That was not a soundboard, by the way, guys. I'm really revving up this take. I think we're going to see some of the striking of both guys, where I would give Bader a slight edge, but I do think because of Anderson's speed, and again, we've talked about the age difference a lot, that he'll eventually get the better of it, maybe score a few key takedowns, get some ground and pound in there. But I don't think he puts Bader away. So I'm going to go, this is five rounds, right? Yeah. Oh, no, this is five rounds.
25 minutes.
It's tournament. Five rounds.
Yeah. And this was before, I mean, this was always going to be five rounds.
Yeah, everything in the tournament. Yeah, something tournament I love, fight. Too. I love the fact that everyone in the tournament fights five rounds.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, so yeah, five rounds. It's going the distance, and I'm going Corey Anderson.
It sounds like it's going to be an ugly victory that you predict. It could be ugly.
I think it
minutes.
Will be. I think they're like pretty evenly matched, and it's just again the improvements that Corey Anderson has made, and the age gap that's gonna give him the edge here. But I mean, I think it'll be a convincing decision win, just not something that has this kind of like, oh man, Corey Anderson. Now is he a top five light heavyweight? I guess he's already pretty close, isn't he? But I mean, nothing that makes us change our opinion of him too dramatically. Let me put it that way.
All right. Yep. Benson Henderson, Brent Primus is a fun fight, especially with the stakes are right now. Of course, before Benson fights, his wife's going to fight. Maria Henderson makes her second amateur appearance against Colette Santiago. That is the first fight of the prelims, kind of looking at the rest of the card. Henry Corrales versus Vladislav Parubachenko. So that should be
these Ukrainians. 1.5. These Ukrainians are coming, man. I mean, obviously we got Amosov already at the top of welterweight, but like every time I'm doing Jed and I are doing, you know, the Miss Fist, like the highlights from the international scenes like that. Man, there's so many up and coming Ukrainian fighters. So that's exciting.
And Carlos going back up to featherweight too,
which is smart.
Which is smart, yeah.
Bobby Lee and Nick Brown should be fun. We get Sumiko Inaba, who a lot of people are very high on. She's 2-0 against Randy Field from Canada. Lance Gibson Jr. is back. He's undefeated from Canada, taking on Randy.
No. Shout out to BC.
Shout out to BC. And I'm very excited for Jaylon. I'm very high on this Jaylon Bates kid. Oh. I think he's going to be. I think there's something there. If he can keep winning fights and Bellator can promote him the right way, and just like they don't rush him, they just keep AJ McKee-ish. If they kind of put him on that trajectory, like just put him on prelims, let him roll and have his moments. I think this kid's got something, so I'm excited to see him fight as well. So that's the Bellator event.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? for sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
That'll be the nightcap of this doubleheader. But of course, before that happens, we are going to get a jolt, so to speak, from this loaded UFC Vegas 40 card with this incredible main event, one of the best of the year. I'm just joking. But no, it's a fine fight. Norma Dumont.
I don't like your sarcastic tone, Mike.
Listen, it is what it is. We were supposed to get Norma Dumont versus Holly Holm. Holly Holm is out. Aspen Ladd comes
still,
in.
Which was still a weird fight, too. Holly Holm versus Dumont. That was still weird. But that wasn't a fight like, oh, dude, we got to cancel your plans, guys, Saturday night. You know, it was still weird. This is just weirder.
This is a weird fight. So you got Norma Dumont. You got Aspen Ladd. Of course, Aspen Ladd had troubles with the scales, trying to get to 135 a couple weeks ago. She's sort of taken a beating from fans, from fellow fighters, from media members. It's been a rough couple of weeks for her, but she comes in, she gets an opportunity. She does it at 145, stepped on the scale this morning. She looked like $1 million. She was smiling. She was happy. She looked totally different than she did a couple of weeks ago. And Norma Dumont has been on a little bit of a roll, and Norma Dumont has changed the way she is approaching her 145-pound career, AK, because remember we've had this conversation on to the next one after she beat Felicia Spencer. We're like, nah, she's in no rush to fight Amanda Nunes. She wants to slowly make her way. And if you listen to her media day scrum, she's like, I'm ready for Amanda now. I'm ready to fight her now. And Aspen Ladd, her best chance of fighting Amanda Nunes sooner rather than later is right now. So are there big stakes here, AK? Are there stakes we didn't even think about? Could a title shot against Amanda Nunes be at stake in this main event tomorrow?
All right. First, let me say, I want to be the Prince of Positivity today, all right, regarding this card. So this will be the only time I'm maybe slanting a little bit negatively. No, I'll say no. I'm sorry. I only saw some of the clips and sound bites from Media Day. So I'm sorry, I did not listen to the full interviews. So for Dumont, did she say why she? What's changed now between May and now? Why does she want Nunes now?
Listen, I mean, I don't. I don't think anybody went really in depth on this, and I'll be honest. I kind of was like, okay, I'm out. As soon as I heard that, I was like, wow, what a change. I get why she's probably saying this, because like, we only have this division for as long as Amanda's here, more than likely, unless the UFC signs Kayla Harrison. The UFC signs Kayla Harrison, now we're back in business. But that's no guarantee, because everyone's going to throw money at Kayla Harrison. So if they don't get her, you only have 145-pound women's division for as long as Amanda Nunes wants to continue to fight. Mm-hmm. So if she's going to get a title shot, maybe she's thinking, I got to strike now because I may never get this opportunity again.
Right, to get a UFC title fight of some kind. And on the other side of it, Aspen Ladd, I'm pretty sure she said she's not interested in sticking around at 145, like, which is, again, as we've said multiple times, it's such an easy path to a title shot. Like, she could probably go 2-0 at 145. Against whoever the UFC can dig up. Like, I mean, it could be a Danielle Wolf, Aspen Ladd's opponent, and then she goes 2-0, and then they look at her bantamweight success as well, and it's like, boom, you're at a 145-pound title shot against Amanda Nunes. That's not the way it should be, but it certainly could be. But she really, really does not want to stick around at 145. For some of the reasons that we said, again, there may not be a division, but like, it's so strange that she doesn't even want to try and, I don't know, make a go in this class, maybe convince the UFC that she could be a name, that if they want to go forward with the featherweight division, maybe they could build around her. it's not like Amanda Nunes is like the most popular fighter. It's not like, oh, she's a Ronda Rousey level star and that's why they're keeping. I mean, she's big enough that they would keep the division around, but I don't see why another fighter couldn't, if they were dominant, put together performances, couldn't like fill a similar role. So that's the angle if I was asking that I'd be taking. Like, you know what? Let me be the one to either fight Amanda Nunes, or if Amanda Nunes goes and they vacate a featherweight title, I can be the featherweight champion, build around me. I mean, just why not try? Because 135 is so difficult for her. And, you know, fingers crossed, she never misses again at 135 for the rest of her career. But obviously, it's more difficult than making 145. And it's just generally right now a longer climb to the top than it would be at this non-existent, you know, 145 rankings.
Yeah, I find that odd. That lad would say that because you're fighting the same woman. You know, right? I mean, unless Pena pulls off an amazing upset, you're fighting the same woman. You're not going from, you know, a different fighter in a different weight class. You're fighting the same woman. You're just not cutting as much weight. Both, like, if Ladd somehow gets a title shot at 45, I don't know why she would avoid I don't know. That's just weird to me.
Yeah, and you know what? If she goes out and wins tomorrow, and the UFC is like, listen, couple offers that we're going to put in front of you. One, if something happens between now and December 11th and Juliana can't fight and we want to make this a featherweight title fight, We might tag in. Or if they say, Aspen, after Amanda fights Juliana, if she's going to keep going, you're next. Like, we're going to put her back up to 45 and you get to fight her for the title. What's she going to do? Say no? Nah, I'm going to go back to 35 and cut all that weight and try to earn it the hard way. Like, I don't know if she does that. What do you think, Casey? Like, do you think she actually does that?
I hope not. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know why she would. I mean, you have a very limited, you know, athletic prime, and you have a title shot opportunity against the same woman in a different weight class.
And you don't have to cut all that weight.
You don't
have to
cut the weight, yeah. And clearly cutting weight sucks. You don't, your body, I guess I get every body's different when they cut weight, especially women's bodies. And unfortunately, Aspen Ladd just wasn't genetically gifted, you know, in terms of just water just, you know, spraying out of her body to cut weight. But, Aspen Ladd, win tomorrow night, win big, and say you want that belt at 45.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
If Nunes loses to Pena, then you have a chance to fight her coming off of a loss. You have a chance to fight Amanda Nunes coming off of a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, that's just the right thing to say right now. I want to try again, be the go-getter, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it for one second. But maybe the UFC is just over the Aspen Ladd thing right now. Who knows? Maybe she goes out there and performs and just kind of play it by ear because of all the struggles she had on the scale. But interesting line here, AK, according to our friends at DraftKings, Aspen Ladd, the favorite, -130, comeback on Norma Dumont, +110. Money coming in on Norma Dumont. Are you surprised by this, or would you consider Aspen a bigger favorite here?
No. I think like -150 would be about as far as I would go, because, I mean, it's funny, like I was just about to interject and say all our talk is as if Ladd winning is some foregone conclusion, which it is very far from it. Norma Dumont, again, skill for skill, maybe doesn't quite match up with Ladd, but size matters. Dumont has tried to make 135. She's had even more difficulty. Well, I shouldn't say more. She's had as much difficulty as Aspen Ladd has. She's missed twice. And both times she missed badly. She missed by almost 4 pounds both times. One time it was canceled. She was supposed to fight Erin Blanchfield. So she only went through with the fight once. She won that fight. But again, she had a massive weight advantage. So, and she will have a weight advantage here. Ladd, for all her struggles making 135, is not a big 145-er. She's maybe a tweener, or again, someone who is actually a natural 135-er who's just had some bad luck and needs to, you know, sort out some dietary issues, whatever condition, just everything that goes into making a weight cut. She is a 135-er. I do look at Aspen Ladd, and I don't see her as someone's like, oh, how could she keep making 135? She should make it. She started her career at 125. Obviously, she was a lot younger at the time, but she has the frame where I just don't see why she can't make 135 consistently. Dumont, on the other hand, is someone who I like. I just don't know if she is a 135-er. I think she is a featherweight who has been trying to make bantamweight just because it's the more competitive division. It's the division that we know will exist probably in the next, you know, in the next 2 years. So size matters. She's not a bad fighter at all. I know people will scoff at that. But as far as featherweights go, she is, I think, one of the five best featherweights in the world. If I mean, that's not saying a lot. I know, again, I'm sure people will go like, how dare you? And it's like, guys, there's not really, you can go across the world, other organizations. Featherweight is not, women's featherweight, excuse me, is not a deep division. So give Norma Dumont some credit. I'm not surprised there's action coming in on her, and an upset would not surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, I think if you're Norma Dumont right now heading into your first main event, Casey, you got to be feeling pretty good right now, because even if she was fighting Holly Holm, and that's a tough fight because Holly looked tremendous in that Irene Aldana fight. If that woman showed up to this fight, it would have been a rough night for her, more than likely. But the story is about Aspen Ladd, and it's not a really positive story. So Norma Dumont is kind of strolling into this fight, and I think the way this conversation has flowed since we started talking about the fight, she comes in a little bit under the radar here. I feel like the pressure isn't as much on her as it is Aspen Ladd. I feel like this is about as good of a situation as she could have put herself in. Am I crazy, or are you on that wavelength with me?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's a better situation. If she would have whooped up on Holly Holm, that, you know, I think that definitely puts her much closer to a potential featherweight title shot. Maybe the next person, if she would have whooped up Holly Holm, then we'd be like, oh, you know, not very many people whoop up on Holly Holm. Only like Amanda Nunes does that. So yeah, I think that there's a letdown for her. Is that Matt? I kind of actually went the other way now that I'm talking about it out loud.
Vacation Case is the best. I'm telling you.
It's a fight. It's a main event. You know, we kind of mention every once in a while. It's a fight. We mention everyone. You know, sometimes it's not really a co-main event. It's just a fight that's before the main event. I don't know if there's a main event for this fight. It's just literally the last fight of the night before they kick everyone out of the building. I feel like that's what this card is. It would have been a cool co-main event on a fight night, maybe, or you know, it's. Like honestly, on a fight, if this was regular fight night and this was just like the fourth fight from the top or fifth fight from the top or whatever, we'd be like, okay, but it's the main event. It's just weird. I don't know. Without Holly Holm and the Aspen Ladd kind of weight drama coming into this, yeah, it's a little storyline, but not the storyline I think that you want to kind of sell it for a title shot. The UFC puts a lot of cards on, and this is what happens. That's all.
Yes, this is the daily sign.
Guys, I was trying to be positive, but the more I said it out loud, I was kind of like, I'm back here again.
I like the card as a whole, though. I do. I like it.
There's some fun fights.
I mean, even just the main event, I'll say, guys, it's at the very least, we're getting to see Aspen Ladd fight for the first time in like 2 years. I mean, she was a ranked bantamweight, a top five ranked bantamweight. She still is in the UFC. In our rankings, I don't know if she'd be in the top five. She'd certainly still be in the top 10 if we did not remove her. Due to inactivity, she would definitely be in the top 10. Sure.
It's an activity issue of her injuries. I don't think definitely. It's because we don't think very highly of
her. I wish we could, again, and it's a shame, knee injuries. I mean, man, at least I guess it's somewhat good. Sometimes they happen when you're younger. It means you have more time to recover. And, you know, once it happens, you're older, you're pretty much done for. So hopefully that doesn't hinder her. But yeah, almost 2 years since we last saw Aspen Ladd fight. She's still very young. Very inexperienced. This is just her 11th pro bout. She's been fighting very, very, very high level competition for a long time. So, as discouraging as it was to see her struggle at the scale, and again, and as much as kind of we've, you know, her good performances are kind of, you know, forgotten with inactivity, I think if we have a little perspective, we think about it, we'll remember that we were once so excited. I shouldn't speak for everyone, but a lot of us in the media were very excited about Aspen Ladd's prospects of being a title contender. And I don't think that's even near being over, even at 135. I think the weight issues are sortable. So very cool that we get to see her fight again, at least, even if it's not at 135 pounds.
Yeah. She's only 26 years old, too.
Very young.
Very 26. Young, yeah. She's 4 years away from her athletic prime.
Yeah.
So she's got time to get this together. So, all right, let's go ahead and make predictions, and then we'll go to the peeps. AK, who you got here? Aspen Ladd, does she go up to 45 and have success, or does Norma Dumont give her an unwelcoming, so to speak?
I've talked myself into it now. I've suddenly got the Aspen Ladd train chugging along now. You know, I'm going Aspen Ladd's second round TKO.
Wow. Okay. Casey?
I think it's going to be one-way traffic for Aspen Ladd. Third round TKO, ground and pound.
Yeah, I'm with you again, Casey. This is boring. I'm going to be, our topology picks are going to be like exactly the same. All right. And who knew? Okay. We got this main event, and who knew? Whose bingo card had Andrei Arlovsky in back to back co-main events in 2021? Who had that? Who had it? Because that's where we're at. He's got a co-main event against Carlos Felipe, who has got the platinum hair and face tattoos. Something about that fight makes me so happy. I don't know what it is, but I'm really looking forward to it. Jim Miller is about to make his record-setting 38th UFC walk, and he will do so against a guy making his debut. So a 38-fight discrepancy for the UFC. He's going to take on Eric Gonzalez, which should be a lot of fun, by the way. Because for those who are not familiar with Eric Gonzalez, that dude is a hammer. And this should ghost be a pepper. Fun fight.
The ghost pepper.
Oh, the ghost pepper.
Oh, okay. I was like, who is this guy? When you said ghost pepper, now, all right. I've seen him fighting Kambate. He is a very exciting fighter. And he was definitely Kambate's kind of golden boy. He was really fun to watch.
Yes. They were pushing him as a big time.
This is almost a very rare signing. A new signing for the UFC, a guy who didn't come from a major organization, and didn't come through the Contender Series or Tough. He just got signed based on his credentials. Yes. Weird.
And yet to throw it off to fight the most tenured lightweight in all of MMA. This is a shout out to Mike Bond and Michael Carroll, great statisticians from MMA Junkie, who pointed out, unsurprisingly, this is the biggest deficit in UFC experience ever. 37 UFC appearances to zero. So just crazy. Yeah, this is. Oh, by the way, we should have mentioned Arlovsky, 36th. This is his 36th UFC appearance. Yeah.
But what's it about Eric Gonzalez? He is. While he is new to the UFC, he's not a prospect. I think he's coming in as a bit of a complete package at 29 years old and almost 20 professional fights. So new to fans, but not new to professional fighting. So.
Yes, and now there is one interesting stat that Aaron Bronsetter had thought of, but now it's completely changed since we lost a fight today. We lost Julian Marquez versus Jordan Wright. Heading into, with the card looking the way it was, the combined UFC appearances between Andrei Arlovsky and Jim Miller, 72, and then the total UFC appearances from everybody else on the card combined was 72. So now,
because
we lost that fight, Miller and Arlovsky have more appearances in the UFC than the rest of the card combined.
Holy crap.
That is insane. That's insane.
Who would be third behind them? That's left still on the card. Andrew Sanchez, I guess?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the card. Jeez.
What? Hold on. I got my notes here. I think it might be Andrew Sanchez.
Could be Brandon Davis.
Yeah, this is his second stint. This is his eighth UFC. Oh, he's right behind them. Danny Roberts, number 11. So he's second. He hasn't fought since 2019. This would be his 11th appearance. I think it's Danny Roberts. Yeah, I think it's Danny Roberts. Danny Roberts with 11. Andrew Sanchez, this will be his 10th. Goodness me. Wow.
But think about what these cards produce. Now we got Manon Fiorot. She's on this card, which is it's her, Casey O'Neill, Aaron Blanchfield, Miranda Maverick. Like, we're looking at those four, maybe throwing another as like the next generation of 25ers taking on Myra Bueno Silva. Ludovic Klein versus Nate Landwehr is now on the main card, which that fight rules, by the way.
Wait, how do you say Klein's first name?
Ludovic.
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 Okay. Yeah. I kind of like how it's spelled.
I've been going to
Andrew Sanchez.
Ludovic, okay.
Yeah, Sanchez, Silva, Danny Roberts, Ramazan, Ameev. I think Ameev is the biggest favorite on the card. Lupita Godinez is trying to win her second fight in 7 days, which is insane. She's going up a weight class to do it.
That's a dangerous fight. Luana Carolina is not bad at all. That's a dangerous fight.
But what a crazy good opportunity for what's her name? Loopy? What's her name?
Loopy.
Yeah,
what a great opportunity for her. So good on her.
But this is what she does. This is Loopy territory. Like, if you followed her regional career, this is what she does. She takes fights on 8 days' notice all the time.
that her win, her win over who did she just beat this past weekend? I'm sorry, I remember her win over Juarez was the first time in like forever, or maybe ever, that she'd had a full, actually had a full camp. And yep. We were kind of like, maybe Loopy and her team have figured it out, Mike. Maybe they've turned over a new leaf and said, let's give Loopy the proper preparation she needs. And instead they say, no, let's give her the quickest turnaround in UFC history and going up a weight class.
Unbelievable. I love it. I love it so much. This is what she does. And I'm not surprised by this whatsoever. A lot of people are stunned by this. I am not surprised. I'm like,
honestly, with the way cards have been happening, I'm surprised this isn't. I'm surprised it took this long for it to happen. To be honest,
it might happen more frequently. I mean, you're right. Absolutely. Maybe now that other fighters know it's possible, they're like, whoa! I could have done this. Yeah, she may have opened a door. She may have opened a door. Her and Hamzat back then, right?
Yes. Brandon Davis back in the UFC takes on Dana Batscarel, and then Ariane Carnelosi versus Estella Nunes. Nunes hasn't fought in a long time because she's coming off a USADA suspension, so that should be fun as well.
Yeah, she fought in the UFC. I don't even know who that is. Who Estella?
No, she was one. But she was scheduled multiple times. I think this is her. I think this is the third time her debut has been scheduled. Yeah. She was supposed to fight Angela Hill. She was supposed to fight Jin Yu Fry. So, and now she has not fought since 2018. So this is our long, long delayed UFC debut.
Yes.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, what are the peeps saying about this highly anticipated doubleheader?
Let me see. Just more of a comment from long time commenter.
Wow, Corey has won six of his last seven fights. His losses to the UFC light heavyweight champion Jan Blachowicz. I'm surprised, but not really, that Corey is the favorite. Bellator rankings have this as number one versus number two.
Yeah,
Corey's a good fighter, man. He's a good fighter. The Jan loss was crazy. It was just.
Yeah,
he just got caught. He got knocked out. He even admitted himself. Like, he went into that thinking he was just going to go in there and just whoop on Jan and go fight John Jones. He saw John Jones sitting in the crowd and he was like, "I'm about to whoop that man's ass." Or later on this year, and didn't he just looked completely past Jan Blachowicz and he got put to sleep.
Yeah, this is MMA. If you watch that fight, Corey just made a mistake. He just threw a lazy leg kick, didn't keep his hand up, his front hand up, and. Jan's experience, and boom, got him. And that's just how it is. And I think this is more the issue of Corey. And I've said this about other fighters too. I can't remember who, like maybe even like Ryan Bader, I kind of fans forget how good they are, is because Corey's one of those guys, I think, when he loses, unfortunately for him, he loses big. And when he wins, it's kind of like, he doesn't win big. He wins kind of smart and tactical, and you know, he'll grind out and kind of TKO you on the ground or the cage. But when he loses big. And I think, unfortunately for Corey, he's been on the other side of more highlight reels than he would like to be. So, but if you actually look at the quality of his victories and the quality of the competition he's lost to, Corey clearly is an elite light heavyweight. So, unfortunate for him, but Bellator
in our rankings,
spin that PR machine, get some positivity to his name.
In our rankings, we have Anderson number 8, Bader number 6, and by the way, Casey. Yes. You were sorely missed on the second episode of the MMA Fighting Ranking Show. We alluded several times to a rogue panelist on the show, and I saw so many comments. I should say, I saw a handful of comments saying, like, we want this. We need this rogue panelist on to defend himself, or to defend himself slash explain himself. So
okay, let me just say, so you were. I was on 2 week vacation. Even though like once a day, I'll look on Slack, you know, just to kind of keep a kind of general idea of what's going on in MMA. The only work I did, like work, I did do my rankings.
You did like a pro, and we said you didn't have to. We said go on vacation. We said, well, it's fine. We'll work out the math. It's fine. But you are such a pro. You are such a believer in disrupting the rankings with your bold. You're bold, and I'll say it. Brave opinions that you just had. You had to get your names in there. You had to get your names in there, and God bless you did. But
I use my own PTO. The rankings for you, the fans.
You did. This is true.
You made sacrifices.
But I cannot wait till a couple of weeks when we get to have you back on the ranking show. The people want to hear from you, Casey.
All right.
Let's see. Julian Marquez versus Jordan Wright was the fight I was so looking forward to. I think a lot of people were on that train as well. What was the reason for the cancellation? The reason is Julian Marquez, non-COVID health-related issues. I know he was cutting weight. I know this for a fact because James Krause was doing like an AMA on his Instagram stories, where it's like, ask me anything. But he was in the sauna with Julian Marquez as he was answering these questions. So he never made it to the scale. They called it probably about 15 minutes before the weigh-ins wrapped up, and that's it.
That's a bummer. That's what these kind of fight, these fight nights of not necessarily ranked fighters, but there are going to be opportunities for really fun fights like this, Marquez versus Jordan Wright. And I think we were all looking forward to like, well, you know what? This fight doesn't really matter in the big rankings, but something cool is going to happen, I felt like.
Yeah.
And just a bummer. That's a bummer. Any word that rebooking or just that we don't know yet? All right.
Yeah, nothing yet.
Sucks for Mr. Marquez. Really sucks for Mr. Jordan Wright. Yeah.
Wright did make weight. So will get a show money.
He did. Yes, I did. And Marquez has become one of our most reliable like headline generators. The Miley Cyrus stuff, I thought was great. Last time I was the Kansas City Chiefs last time, Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, I get it. It's a gimmick. I see people already kind of rolling their eyes like, oh, he obviously has some name or some weird call out queued up. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, good. I like when fighters have a plan. I don't care if it's contrived. Like, you don't want to go overboard with this. Sometimes it can get annoying, but this is cool. This is how a guy markets himself, and why Marquez is he's a more recognizable name than a lot of fighters in his division with the same level of experience. So good for you, Marquez. Hopefully it is something serious, it can be rebooked. We just see him back in there soon.
All right.
Yep. If Julius wins, could you say this would be as big of an upset as Ronda losing to Holly Holm? I wouldn't go that far.
Maybe betting-wise, it might be there. I'm looking at Tapology, and 95% of people have Nemkov winning this fight. So maybe not betting-wise, but as far as just pick 'em, Nemkov, 95%. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna look it up right now. I want to see what the fans felt for...
Holly Holm, by the way, was a Ronda Rousey is a minus 900 favorite against Holly Holm. Yeah,
it was absurd. It was
plus 525.
It was a crazy line. I remember. And you had a lot of people after saying like, oh well, we kind of knew. But in fairness, there definitely were some people ahead of that matchup who were saying like there was. I don't know if they predicted a knockout, but definitely saying like Holly was going to be a serious problem for.
I predicted for Holly by boring decision.
Actually, there you go, right?
Now how she won, I was not expecting it, but I really thought
shocking.
It was gonna be
that was shocking.
Yeah. Oh, but just according to pick'ems, this would be a bigger upset. 91% people pick Rousey to beat Holly, and 95% are picking Nemkov to win. So yeah.
I also think that Ronda, I mean, the stylistic matchup was kind of a nightmare for Ronda, but I also think people saw Ronda the night before at the ceremonial weigh-ins, and they saw how she acted and kind of shoving Holly and doing all that stuff. And I think people like kind of felt like Holly was in her head at that point. They felt like, I think some of those opinions, and I think the betting line changed too. I think a lot of money came in on Holly the 24 hours prior to that fight, because it was plus 1250 before the weigh-ins, and it went down to minus 900 before the fight.
That's a huge move. That's a huge line move.
Big line. Yeah, that's a big line move.
So people definitely knew. It wasn't just people in retrospect, you know, after like there was a lot of again, and not just from bettors. I do think there's people in the media, like Casey said, who thought that Holm had what it took to, if not like knock her out, to win a decision.
Yeah. I really thought
it would be a big upset.
I really thought Holly was gonna beat Ronda the same way that she kind of beat Aldana. You know, kind of just circle and then just chasing her. But that night was awesome. A little off topic. So I was in Spain and we were doing a little walking tour of Barcelona, and our tour guide, you know, he's talking to us, he's asking stuff, and you know, he's like, you know, what do you guys do? And I go, from Los Angeles, you know, it's like, what do you do for a job? I'm like, you know, cage fighting, you know, when people ask you what you do for a job, you're like, cage fighting. He's like, oh, he's like, oh, Ronda Rousey. I was like, oh yeah. And he's like, oh, you start talking like, oh, do you know Ronda Rousey, were you there for the knockout? I was like, yeah, I was. You know, so wow. that moment, like, this guy wasn't an MMA fan, but he still knew about Ronda getting knocked out by Holly Holm. I was like,
I know.
Wow, that's just so. In that sense, I don't think that tour guide will be talking to tourists if Julius gets the upset over Nemkov. He won't go, hey guys,
right? Okay,
Nemkov, man, we lost last night. Yeah, oh, yeah, and here's a beautiful chapel from the 1200s.
Exactly. and it's funny. That's what we try to explain to people when we try to say like I see people now, you know, in retrospect saying like, was Ronda Rousey really that big? And it's like, guys, I don't know if you remember being in the middle of Ronda Rousey. And again, 10 years from now, I'm sure people will say the same thing about like Conor McGregor. Well, he's never going away. Maybe like 30 years from now.
That's a little different. Like, I know what you're saying.
When you're in the middle of it, man, and you just have to remember, like, you got to capture that moment, because it is crazy how big these guys are when they're just booming. I got Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, and how big the gap is between them and like the next tier of stardom that we consider in MMA. Like I would consider George St. Pierre like a tier below Ronda Rousey and McGregor, and it's like, and I mean like way below, way, way, way below. And we're talking one of the most popular fighters like in UFC history. I would still, like, he's not even close to the popularity of those two names. So yeah, but that's very cool, Casey. Yeah, like, that's how big that moment was.
And transcendent moment.
And just by chance, not trying to talk about my vacation too much.
Do it, but do it. What else are we doing?
What else are we gonna do? Talk about fights? So I was with my wife, the Esther Lynn, and I was like, oh, you want to see a cool photo? And then like, hey Esther, check this in. And I show him the photo of Ronda getting knocked out. I was like, she took that photo. I married her.
The best of all time.
Oh, that's so great. That is so
a goat.
All right,
I'll take.
By the way, Casey, it's Barcelona.
Oh yeah, Barcelona.
Barcelona. You want to be? You got to be real. You got to be real a hole about it. Come on.
Yeah.
Now that you've been, you have to be real a hole about it.
I have no issue with that. I have no. Done.
It's like Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Casey, I don't know if we had to ask a reader of one of our a listener of one of our other podcasts onto the next one, and they said they shot me down. They said, just say Melbourne.
Just say
Melbourne. And I'm like, all right, fine. All right.
I had this conversation with Ariel talking about Fedor. He's always like Fedor. I'm like, nah, it's Fedor. I know it's Fedor, but Fedor. Nah, it's Fedor. It's Fedor. I'm gonna say Fedor.
Two more.
Menon Fiorot,
we already mentioned this. Super cool. Oh, so she came out at 121. I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, it's very small. Yeah.
Oh, so she's actually even a small, kind of a relatively small strawweight too. If she came in at 120, 121. Probably. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
She's a bull, though.
She showed up.
Yeah, she's a bull.
Yeah. Let me see any more questions. But actually, this card. No, everything's about just stuff.
I do see a lot of random.
Which is a lot of stuff.
All right, well, if we could take some two stuff questions. Yeah. Yes, holy cow, that was insane.
That was ugly.
For the podcast listeners, the Petrosian knockout at one championship, the kickboxing match, that was absolutely nuts. And if you haven't seen it, you can go to MMAfighting.com and see it right now.
And if you're not if you don't follow kickboxing, Petrosian is just a legend in the sport, and he's still he's not at his peak, but he's still considered super good. And to see him get knocked out cold that way, that it just legs. Oh yeah, watch the replay, amazing knockout. And,
let's put it this way.
But I was just going to say this, amazing knockout, but it was disgusting, the fact that that was a kickboxing match in a freaking cage. Ugh.
Oh, you don't, you hate that. That's it's unnatural. Unnatural. Oh, kickboxing should be in a ring.
Oh. Can you imagine a boxing match in a ring? It would be just disgusting. That's what that,
super.
It was disgusting. I'm disgusted by it.
Super Bond, who won the fight as an amazing kickboxer, he is one championship's number two ranked kickboxer, whatever, you know, however much weight you want to put in those rankings. But still, the way he beat him, that to me is more shocking than almost anything that could happen between Anglicus and and Nemkov. Like it was that, like, again, when you see the highlight, and if you know, Petrosian, he's only been the second time he's ever been knocked out.
Yeah, he's lost by knockout before, but.
Yeah,
it was like a 8 knockout, years ago. But this was a like a knockout. Like this is the definition of it. No, you open the dictionary. There's Petrosian getting knocked out.
Oh my God! Our Damon Martin looked into it, and I believe he was taken to the hospital, and they're looking after it. It was really nasty.
Just one head kick. Yeah. La 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 la. Here, talk about something a little off topic.
Yes. If Wilder could become a boxing champ, do you believe Ngannou can as well? Also, should he fight and beat Fury? What's your view on Ngannou's place in combat sports history?
That's a
loaded question.
Yeah. I don't think the story's been written yet. I think we're only in we're like maybe halfway through the book for Ngannou. Yeah.
I mean, if Ngannou focused on training straight boxing for 2 or 3 years and then took some professional fights and took it really seriously and tried to climb the ranks, maybe. I don't know. But for those who people who suggest Ngannou should just go in there and fight Tyson Fury, I mean, for the amount of money he would get, yeah, he'd be set for a long, long time. But I mean, if you want to go in there and competitively box and try to win a boxing match, to just jump right in there and box Tyson Fury would be a idea. A horrible idea.
This is such a high key diss of Wilder. If Wilder can become a boxing champ, do you believe
Wilder?
He's been boxing his whole life. He's an actual professional boxer. He's had a share of the world titles, I believe. I don't know how much value people have those are so many, but he's had a share. He's been a world champion. He almost knocked him out in the first fight.
Yeah, if Fury didn't have the best chin in the world, Wilder would have won that fight. He just happened
to... What an insult. Yeah. Well, if Wilder could do it, I mean, obviously... what the hell is that supposed to... I don't mind if people don't like Wilder. There's a lot of reasons not to like Wilder. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But, I'm not criticizing his performance in the third fight at all. I thought that fight... I thought he was great.
I thought it was exactly the same as the second fight. Yeah. He was just going to get for 7 rounds.
It's like you said, I think it would take Ngannou years to reach the level in just boxing that Wilder is at now. It would take years. It would take years. He's nowhere near that.
Yeah.
No way.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I'm not even going to talk about this anymore. This is ridiculous. But thank you for your question, JK.
it's barbershop talk. I like it. Yeah, I dig it.
All right, guys. Drop some questions in. Otherwise, we're going to hit the go home.
You got button. 1 minute. You got 1 minute. If I hear the music, once the music plays, that's it.
No, wait, hold on. And
we got one? Oh, we got music. What's happening? Oh, that's it.
Oh, there we go. That's it.
Yep, that's it. The people in the back, they're telling us we're done. I see a cane coming out. They might be pulling me down. Okay, so that's it. What time does this UFC card start tomorrow? 4? 4 Eastern, right? It's 4 Eastern.
Yeah.
All right, so that means 3:30 Eastern tomorrow. Pre-fight Q&A.
Answer all your questions. Show. Anything.
All your questions, which means looking at these two cards, no offense, positive. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun night of fights, okay? Fun day, fun night. I think we're going to be like, this is fun. This is fun. Oh, by the way, AK, real quick, gymnastics scale, UFC Vegas 40. People have want to know.
I mean, as positive I can be, it's still like a 6.5 at best. Like 6.5 out of 6. And that's if either the main event is competitive or gives us a highlight reel finish either way. If we have a genuine fight of the night somewhere on there, Landwehr and Klein really delivers, or I don't know, Sanchez Silva. I'm not sure. There might be some fight of the night, but I just don't see how this card could be it could be a fun card. I just don't know how it could ever, like, it could be one that we're really going to be talking about, like, I don't know, 3 weeks from now.
Well, find out tomorrow if it lives up to those high standards. For Casey, for AK, I am Mike Heck. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.